five times a day. And he did it on a rug. She was up in arms. We have to remove this person. And of course, you know, Rav Meir said, not so fast. He went over to the scholar. He said, I see that you're a very earnest person, and that you like to pray. We have a special room on the side. You can go into that room, take out your rug, do whatever you want. I don't have to tell you the end of the story. He's a Sherman Terebitzer today, a big Ben Terebitzer today with a beautiful family. He brought all the children into the table. Yitzchak Kupersmith, Eric, Talmud Bubik of the Rosh Hashiva, wrote just today. He took the mission and heard the others. Chavavadim Shadivra B'Tselem. Person is cherished because he was created. Tselem Ulikim. And he writes, who else could take a group of completely disenfranchised young Jewish men, most of whom could not be Alephites, many of them quite antagonistic to religion and Judaism in particular, and see within these young men the members of an organization that he wanted to create? Many religious Jews would cross the street if they saw these fellows walking down the block. Rosh Hashiva was undaunted by their physical appearance. Not only did he see their souls and their thirsting for Torah, but he believed in them. He believed in their sense of idealism and that they, together with him, could change the world. Meir saw the marble coming. Whenever he would build a table, people would come by. There's a marvel coming. The world will be destroyed. No one believed him. But Noach was the same. He thought that Noach, 4,000 years ago, thought he was a Meshuggah. The world was going to be destroyed. But Noach, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, was the same. He said it himself. When I used to walk down the streets of Yerushalayim, and people used to look at me, and they used to point at me, and they used to say, there goes Noach the crackpot. He wore that label proudly. It didn't bother him. He knew what he was doing. And he warned us. And he warned about what's happening in the world. But he was not just Noach. He went out. And he lost his father at 16 years old. He went out, became a traveling salesman to support the family. And he went out traveling. When I got on a train, went to Philadelphia. He went as far as Texas, I believe, selling dry goods. We're talking about the late 1940s. He looked around at the landscape of America. He said, something's wrong. I'm a yeshiva bacher. I come out here, nobody knows anything. The whole country, nobody knows anything about Yiddish guy. What's going to be? He was more than Noach. He was Avraham Avinu. He went out. His Halech Lefonai, that he examined. Not only has all the kin, his Halech Noach. He went out. He saw the problem. Then it started to affect people. Not in the tens of thousands, but through all his programs in the hundreds of thousands from one man. How did he do it? He did it with love. He did it with vision. And with focus. And with tenacity. And then with more love, and questions, and plans, and directives. And he did it with Torah, and with a system of learning. And he did it with ideas, and he did it with responsibility. And he did it with a smile, and he did it with a huge smile, as you know. And then he did it with more love. and courage and with determination. And he was fearless. Yes. There's not a farmer, everybody knows, was a fearless man. How many people do you know are truly fearless? And the passage says of Bnei Yisrael, Holchu b'soy chayam v'yavosha. And a few psukim later, it says almost the same thing. Bnei Yisrael, Holchu b'yavosha b'soy chayam. Break the kliyokar. The Gros says a similar thing. Why are these two psukim here? They seem to be redundant. And why the difference in the Lashon? First, in Bnei Yisrael, Holchu b'soy chayam v'yavosha, and then v'yavosha b'soy chayam. Listen to what the Kliyoker tells us. There were two separate parts of Klal Yisrael. There was Shevet Yehuda. There was Nachshon and Aminadab. When they went into the Yam, it was b'soy chayam. Later it became yavosha. But when they went in, it's b'soy chayam. When everyone else went in, it was by Yavosha, which happened to be B'soy Chayam. There's a big difference. Noach Weinberg began this idea of Kir Rechoykim. It was B'soy Chayam by Yavosha. It wasn't what it is today. He built what it is today. Now it's by Yavosha, B'soy Chayam. Now we can walk in, Kir, fancy, exciting, wonderful. Then was the Seichayim by Yavosha. He was the Nachshoin. First two letters of Nachshoin. He was Noach. Shoin. Noach, Shoin. Yes. Now, that was Reb Noach. He was Noach. He learned from Avraham Avinu. He epitomized the Gevurah of Yitzhak Avinu, but in my opinion, he emulated Yaakov Avinu. Because he became the ultimate ladder for everyone who he met. He was Behine Sulam Mutzav Arza, the Roshay Magia Hashemayim. He was grounded. He was grounded. He was practical. Get it done. Mutzav Arza. But the Roshay Magia Hashemayim, his head was in the clouds. There was no end to the imagination, as the Rav just finished saying. There was no end to that. He was the ladder, and everybody who he met, he could get on that ladder and climb with him. Everyone. He was the Sulam Mutzav Arza. He was, as I say, the ultimate pragmatist and the ultimate visionary at the same time. Sounds impossible. The ultimate thinker and the ultimate doer at the same time. How is it possible? I know people who all they do is dream. You probably know people like that. They never do anything. They dream. And I know a lot more people who do a lot, but they forgot to think before they did. Rosh Hashiva is a friend of Bracha. He did both. He did it to perfection. Impossible. Shlomo HaMelech says, Sheva Yipol Tzadik will come. Seven times a Tzadik will fall, but he will pick himself up anyway. The Pashat Pshat is despite the fact that he falls, he will still raise himself up. But the Putras of Sefer Tzadik Bracha said the Pshat that everyone knows, but it's not Pshat the Pasuk. It's not despite the fact that the tzaddik fell that he picks himself up. It's because of the fact that he fell that he picks himself up. He learns from those mistakes. Sheva Yipol Tzaddik to come. As Rav Nosson Sherman says so eloquently, he once wrote, failure is not the enemy of success. It is its prerequisite. So when Rav Noach Weinberg, as a young man, started to build organizations, he failed miserably. And he spoke about it all the time. I'm a failure, he said. One after the other. started 5 different organizations. He was trying to change the world. They all didn't work. He started yeshivas until he finally found Esh HaTorah. It wasn't despite the fact that he failed, it was every time learning from those failures. How many of us feel like quitting? We quit. We quit when our kids misbehave. We quit when the shidduch doesn't work. We quit when the parnasa doesn't go. We quit when the taishvus is fair. We quit. But Rav Naira taught us never, ever, ever to quit. No matter what. We're spoiled today. Things don't work out, we fold up. That wasn't it. To me, that's his legacy. To go on, determined, never quitting, banging on the desk, banging, we have to go further. Try again, try again. It doesn't work, try again. How? You'll see how. You'll find a way out. And we did. He believed in the koyach of the yachid, the achrayas of the rabbi. Every person has power. The power of one, we spoke about it all the time. The power of every yachid, but the achrayas of the rabbi. He developed a system called it the 48 Ways to Wisdom, the Mishnah Perkei Avos. And he said that with this 48 ways, he once said at a meeting, he says, this 48 ways that we've developed, he says, you can do anything with it. You could become a billionaire using the 48 ways. You want to become a great parent? You can become a great parent using the 48 ways. You want to become an Olympic champion? He always spoke about that. You can do it with the 48 ways. Somebody was sitting next to Rosh Hashiva, Baron Hach in Toronto. He said, I don't know if the Rosh Hashiva is such a great example of a billionaire. He could say that. Listen to what Rosh Hashiva said to him. He said, if I wanted to be a billionaire, I could have done it. I didn't want to be a billionaire. That's why. I wanted to change the world. But if I wanted to be a billionaire, I could have done it that way. He didn't want to be a billionaire. He didn't need to be a billionaire. He just wanted to change the world, that's all. But he did. It was never about him. Rav spoke about being a Bereach and a Kavod. He was the epitome. He didn't understand what the Kavod was. He didn't understand it wasn't in the Parsha. It was all Emes. No Gaiva. Nothing. I sat with him as did Baruch once, a few months ago. I didn't even know the story that you said. And I said the same thing to him. I said, Rosh Hashiva, Rosh Hashiva afraid to die, I'm sitting with him. He wasn't well, of course. He laughed at me. He laughed at me. Not afraid. I have a pretty good ticket. Listen to Shaita. Listen to Emes. He understood. He knew. He said to me, come, he said, I want to show you a film. Film of what? You'll see. Turns on a film. Film of the universe and the galaxies. And within 90 seconds, I didn't know what the film was about. And he's watching, he's studying it. He said, look, look at the Kaya to the Bria. Look at this. I didn't even understand. No idea. He had to sit for an hour to watch. Because he was connecting with the complexity of the universe. So here we can find the Bria. Here, watch. He did the same thing for you. On Thursday morning, I got to the Surah. So hard to believe. And the phone rang at 5:55 in the morning. It's always a frightening thing. You get that call early in the morning, pick up the phone, somebody told me, and as much as we knew that Rosh Hashiva was ill, we did not No one expected it. And as the day wore on, I thought, that's really what Rashiya wanted. He wants everybody to get the wake-up call. That's what he's been trying to do all his life. Even in his Tira, he was waking me up. That's all he was trying to do. To everyone we met, here's the wake-up call. Don't wait until it's too late. He warned us like Nayak did. He learned from Avraham Avinu. He had Pura like Yitzchak, but he epitomized Yaakov Avinu. He was that ladder. And when it says, Vayikach me'avnei amokoin, when Yaakov took all the 12 stones together, you all know the Gemara in Cholin that says that the stones became one. I heard Akasha, says, you know, you never saw that at home. Why did we see that at home, when Yaakov used a pillow, that all the feathers would say the same thing? They should also say, that's like all the stones wanted to be the one, so maybe all the feathers should also want to be the one. You don't see that. Why not? The parrots I heard, the message I hear in this material, that is, the feathers understood that not one single feather would make a difference. There's not one feather that could say, Olai Yoniach Tzadik is Rajai. They can't do that. The Eben, maybe. Rest your head on a stone. You can't rest your head on a feather. The feathers understood that they have to all come together to create that pillow for Yaakov Avinu. And that's what we have to do. We have to all come together, all of us together, all of us, little feathers. Every one of us says, who am I? I'm just a feather, because we compare ourselves to Rosh Hashiva. What am I? And Rosh Hashiva is telling us, I'm giving you the wake-up call. You're not going to do it yourself, but each of you has tremendous kayak, and every single person can get together with the other feathers, and you can create that fellow for Klal Yisrael. That's what the Mayach left for us. It will take a lot of time for us to be able to accept that. But I believe that that is what he wants. My bracha to all said we should be able to inspire people like he did for us through all these years. We should have the hatzlacha that he wants us to have. We should be the Meilutz Yosher. Thank you.